You've got to be before me, Catherine.
Got a bus. It's fine. I was having
a no petrol, Catherine.
No petrol. I had to leave it in Rheny, did it?
Hi, Catherine. Yes, I am. We were doing Gael Tureran in Ireland House, so we just rushed straight from there over here. We couldn't really go very fast because of the way the petrol situation is. You know, I was trying to keep down to 30, but we managed it anyway. We're here.
Fashion models arriving for an evening show at the Country Club Hotel, Portmarnock. Francesca, a part-time model, has come straight from the office.
Well, usually I say when we're going to a show that's so far out from the city as this show is, I go straight from work to the show. And it's not that hectic, it's just a case of trying to pass time between 5:30 and 7:30, basically.
Do you worry at all about eating?
I do. I love my dinner in the evening. And it usually means that I have to miss out on it, but I try to make up for this by having a fairly good lunch in the middle of the day. And I grab any sandwiches that may be going in the evening.
There are 7 models taking part in this show, some of them part-timers, including one male. Among them is one of Ireland's best-known fashion models, Geraldine Brand.
Well, I've been modelling nearly 5 years now, and I'd say it took about 3 to when I felt that I was getting places. And before that, I was pretty lucky when I started modelling. I seemed to get the work, but it took a long time to branch into the couturier. But now I'm doing most of the shows for those, and it's more interesting because I'm not just doing photography and an odd little show here. I'm pretty well booked up, you know, as the season starts.
Another well-known name in the fashion world is Catherine Ryan.
Well, I'm a full-time student, so I just do part-time modelling. I work a couple of nights a week and do a few photographic sessions from time to time as well, television commercials and that sort of thing. So it occupies quite a lot of my time.
Do you do it for the money, or why do you do it?
Well, I do it for the money and because I enjoy it. It's financed my whole college education right from the beginning, and it's kept me very independent. And I also enjoy the work quite a bit. It's given me a lot of opportunities to meet people and to travel, and it's been very, very interesting, really.
What are you studying?
I'm doing French and English arts in UCD, and I'll be graduating in September.
Well, do you think you'll continue on modelling, make it your full-time career?
I don't think so, no. I'm thinking of going into something else, but I'll always keep my interest up in it, and I would like to do some fashion journalism and comparing, that sort of thing. And probably for the next few years I'll continue doing fashion shows, but I intend taking up a career once I leave college.
Another well-known name is Sheila Cunningham.
Well, I've been modelling for 2.5 years now, and hopefully I'm on the way up. I enjoy the work, and
what is it about it that you enjoy?
Well, I suppose I like the insecurity of the whole thing, strangely enough. I wouldn't like a 9-to-5 job. I like every day to be different. Some days you wouldn't work at all, other days you're working like a black. And really, I think that's what I enjoy about it. You know, I find it stimulating. It's not mentally stimulating, but I don't particularly need that.
This show is scheduled for 8:00, but because some of the girls have been modelling earlier in the afternoon, there's much more last-minute rush than usual. One of the most important people backstage is the dresser.
My function is to try and get the models back out onto the ramp as quickly as possible, fully buttoned and zipped, etc. And looking as if it was nice and easy, you know? But it's not always very easy. It's quite hectic if you have to handle more than one dresser or one model. Well, if you've got about 20 buttons with 20 loops and you start looping the wrong button, you're in trouble when you get to the last one and you've got to undo it. And there's always a rush, you know, and people are hot and bothered, you know, by the time they get back out again. But it doesn't often happen if you keep calm, you know.
Besides the more obvious preparations for a fashion show, things like makeup and hairstyling, there is what is perhaps the most important aspect of all in showing clothes, the matching up of accessories.
Well, I'll take out my shoes first of all and line them up. I've a pair of shoes in each colour, which say brown, white, navy, black. I'll have a look at the garments before I go on and take out scarves and jewellery, lay them out here and have a look and see what will go with what. And from there on, it's just a case of when I come in to change, I just grab whatever I think will suit the garment and put it on and go out. But I think as you go along, as you gain experience, you know what colours will go with what. You know what jewellery will go with what. So you gain speed as time goes along and you become very, very quick at changing and accessorising things. We always have to have plenty of accessories along with us for this type of thing, a trouser suit or a coat or whatever, plenty of scarves, sometimes little blouses and that we can wear under them just in case the shop doesn't supply them themselves. You actually collect the things as you go along. After 2 or 3 years modelling, you find you've quite a good selection of stuff to put with the clothes. That's fine, actually, Alma. It's great.
You're happy with that now?
Sorry?
You're happy with that trouser suit?
It's a little bit big. I wouldn't actually buy it myself for ordinary wear, but on a fashion show you can sometimes get away with clothes that are too small or too big because you're actually on a ramp and you'll be above the level of the people, so they won't see too much detail. They'll get a good overall impression of what the garment is like. And you know, they won't be able to actually see whether it's that much too big or that much too small, unless it's very obviously so.
You're not on first?
I don't know. Who's on?
I don't know what the running order is yet. It can differ from one night to the next. I think I'm probably first tonight. Francesca's usually after me, aren't you? And Amy then in the middle, and then the male model comes somewhere just after Amy.
So now we have to get all our shoes out, you know, because we use our own accessories on the shows.
We borrow from each other as well. If somebody needs something that they haven't got, normally one of the other girls will have to.
Catherine is size 8 shoe and I'm only size 5.
I'm only size 6.5, do you mind?
Well, listen, has anybody a spare pair of tights?
There are tights.
Oh,
tights.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Where was my suitcase?
Everyone ready?
Not quite.
Gerald, you are my husband here.
Has the hairdresser come yet, Sadie?
Oh, no, not anything.
Now, you come in the order, please. Geraldine.
Sorry.
What?
Excuse me, we're on.
Oh, yeah.
Geraldine, Sheila, Catherine, Francesca.
I'm Sheila.
I'm after Sheila.
He's dying to get started.
But we're all sort of topped up, if you like, you know, all excited.
You do build up a certain amount of tension, and after a show then you're still that way, but after 10 minutes or so you begin to relax gradually, you know.
You have to get up an atmosphere, a feeling.
You just speed yourself up for the changes than actual nervousness, you know.
Is there a camera on this?
And so the show gets underway. Outside it's all shimmer and glitter and hushed anticipation, but behind the scenes it's a little bit more hectic.
Every time you rush, everything seems to go wrong. The more you try and hurry, the more thumbs you seem to have. But when we're finished, when they've finished with them, we have to keep them together. So they're checked at the end. There's no marks or stains or anything. And they keep them together so none of the wrong stuff goes back to the wrong firms. So.
I lifted up the scarf to show the top of the coat and my bra was showing.
Isn't it sweet?
At least they probably didn't notice it because I threw it down again.
This is great. I've had the same shoes on for the last three outfits.
A minute.
Could I have my hair brushed, I wonder?
And Geraldine is here to show our first dress from the Wallace shop in stone-coloured jersey. Like most of the dresses this season, it's styled to a flowing tent line, but you can control the fullness by cinching it at the waistline with a soft tie belt of the fabric.
Just tuck it into your teeth, your lips.
I lift it, comes off then.
No, not if you tuck it in.
Right, there goes my hair anyway.
Scarf again for this dress.
Is it over?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Which goes to the front? Hold on, is it the collar to the front?
Right.
wraparound dress for Catherine. In mint green cotton this time.
You make a tableau this time. You stay on. All stay on.
Is this the end,
just at the end of this collection?
No, it's the end of this collection.
Come on, Deirdre. Stagecoach are coming back.
Deirdre's classic tailored coat here, in a pure wool, with a slip pleat at the back, and subtle seaming on the shoulder line.
Orange or Coke or something now, because we're all dehydrated.
Do you feel very rushed and fussed now after all of that?
Yes, yes, I do. I just want to sit down and have a cigarette and a Coke, if I can.
Have
you
got a Dubai Bacardi in it?
No, I couldn't. Just a Coke so I can drink it down in one go.
Thank you very much, model girls.
Stephen's Green at 5:30 on a dark, drizzly evening. This time, instead of walking the ramp, the models face photographer Ricky Stevens.
OK, here we go.
Now, Sue, looking at me, that's it, come on. And again. Come on, smile, that's it. Look happy, that's it, great. Come on, keep it going. That's grand, yeah. And again, great. That's an infectious laugh, great. Keep it going, here we go again. Okay, that's it. Now relax, hold it a second now. We want to shoot some more, just hold.
One of those taking part in the photographic session was part-time model Jack Clark.
I find it hard work. By times, like this morning I had to be up at 5:30. I had a call at 6:45. I had to be at a place at 6:45 for photographic shots. That went on until 12 o'clock. A lot of the time on photographic work, you're standing around, and believe it or not, it can be very tiring, just maybe sitting all dressed up and nowhere to go. You've just to wait till all the cameras and the lights and the whole set is ready. And then you may only be 1 or 2 hours on the set itself. But some of them can be really tiring. One I had was I had a girl sitting on my knee for 6 hours. So might sound pleasant, but it's not all that pleasant after 6 hours.
Now, Jack, you're dead. Come on. Now, here we go. Okay.
I like you that way.
Here we go. Now, like that. And again, please. Right, once more. Great. Yes, great. And again. Open your lips. Open your mouth. Come on. Right. That's right. Lovely. Yes, great. Yeah. Grand. And once more. That's good. Yes, lovely.
Photographic work and showing clothes on the ramp undoubtedly take up a good part of a model's working life. It's a profession that's tough and exacting, and to judge from the comments of the people concerned, not at all as glamorous as the image popularly projected. As a career, it's a relatively modern phenomenon. Mary Finan.
As far back as I can remember, say back to the 30s, I think that was when the modelling game became really something big. And at that time, it was very interesting because it seemed to attract, you know, the daughters of titled ladies. And it was rather a snob thing to do. And after that was for about, you know, up to the 40s. And then after that, you went through the very sophisticated look, the Dior look, and into the 50s. And then models were almost anonymous. You know, they just became coat hangers and they all looked the same. And it was a very, very sophisticated, very made-up look, and bright red lips, dark eyes, hair, you know, completely, you know, strained into some kind of exotic style. And that, I think, was one of the most uninteresting phases of fashion and modelling. But then came the 50s and a complete reaction when the shrimp, Jean Shrimpton, came on the scene. And she, I think, really changed the whole face of modelling, because then the model as a personality became almost a cult. And she, in her own right, was as famous as an international film star. And the same thing happened about the same time in the States, when you had Lauren Hutton and people like Marissa Berenson coming on the scene. And that last event, Twiggy, came after that. And that lasted right into the 60s. She had a very long run for a top model. And in fact, you'll still see her about once a year in Vogue. And I believe she gets some exotic sum, like £10,000 for those sessions. I mean, you know, you could just work one day in the year and then give up. But that was certainly the heyday, I think, of the fashion model. And now I think it's changed again. In the 70s, if you leaf through the glossies, like, you know, Vogue and Harper's, you find that the model now has changed, but she's very, very versatile. She looks completely, when there's a whole beauty or fashion feature on her, she looks completely different on every page. The whole emphasis today in modelling seems to be on versatility on the part of the model. That, okay, it's taken for granted she looks great, and after that she must be able to pull her face into any expression whatsoever and mould her body into any number of 100 shapes. And that seems to be the thing today, that modelling has become, you don't get static pictures there, they're all full of action. And so it's really versatility, I think, today, but playing down the personality bit, that seems to have more or less fizzled out.
In Ireland, modelling is centred, predictably enough, I suppose, around Dublin, with about 50 girls making it their full-time career. There are a few agencies in the provinces, and they, combined with the Dublin agencies, employ about 200 part-time models. Two of the better-known professionals are Mairéad Conlon and Geraldine Brand.
You could be the most beautiful girl and not have a clue about modelling. I mean, there's more to it, as I say, than walking up and down and looking pretty or looking beautiful. You have to have some kind of flair, be able to interpret the clothes that you're wearing. It's really, in a way, like acting. You know, you can't walk into a room sort of socially with your arms in the air and swing around, but on the ramp you can do this and create some kind of an atmosphere which you know, if you're any way attractive, you can put this across. You know, you can make the best of your makeup and put your hair to suit the clothes you're wearing and sort of bring out a feeling and an atmosphere as you show the clothes.
Mairéad Conlon, you're now training models and you're a top model yourself. What would you say is the essence of a good model? What does it take to be a good model? How would you pick model material, for example?
Well, when I'm choosing the models for a course, there's an interview, first of all, and the girls come in. And as soon as they walk in the door, you can almost tell whether they'll make it or not. Usually I look for the, you know, the usual things are the height and the figure. You know, if they've got, you know, reasonably a good figure, and to be at least 5'7". After that, we look for a girl that has a bit of life in her and is confident, and as she walks into the room, sort of is lively, and rather than just walking in and standing there. Well, after that, they start their modelling course, which entails walking and how to dress, and they learn how to wear their hair. They usually go to a hairdresser's and get their hair cut in a you know, up-to-date style. They learn how to apply makeup and to know the difference between photographic makeup and maybe how to wear makeup for fashion shows, which are completely different things. And they learn how to dress, how to go to interviews, and they spend weeks and weeks of just learning how to turn and how to show the clothes on the ramp. At the end of their course, there's a reception, and the advertising people come along to it, photographers, and then the girls are finished, and after that they go around the agencies, bring around their photographs.
Getting started can be a critical period in a young model's life, for while an outstanding girl may reach the top very quickly, for the majority it can be a very difficult time indeed. Alice Kearns.
Well, when I started, I was lucky because I had a lot of jobs with advertising agencies who wanted a girl who wasn't too well known on the scene. And then after that, I found it very hard to work with photographers to introduce myself around. So I had to go to all the different advertising agencies, which there's about 50 of them or more, with my composite, and try and get some work off them. But really the worst thing I found was that to set yourself on the modelling, you just have to spend every penny you have on jewellery and shoes and clothes. And that's really where I fell down, because I came from school into modelling and I didn't really have that much that was in fashion. So I did it full time for 6 months, and then I went to work to try and do it part time. But I found that very hard as well, because it was so hard to get time off. But in that time I did work myself up with jewellery and shoes, not getting much modelling, but I did sort of get the basis off it. And then I left my job about 5 weeks ago, and I'm back now. Really, when I started, I always thought it was a very glamorous job. So that's really what made me go into modelling, but I soon found that it wasn't all that glamorous. It's really very hard work. But the thing I like about it is now it's very interesting. You never really know what you're going to be doing. You know, doing furs in summer and bikinis in midwinter, or, you know, having to go down to the beach and do all different sorts of things. But you do a lot of travelling as well, and I like that. It's really a very interesting job.
But tough. Do you find the refusals tough when you go around and you find doors being closed in your face all the time?
I did at the beginning. I found it very hard. I really, you know, I got so many refusals because I am so tall that some people just didn't want to know. I found it very hard, but you soon learn to grow tough against it. You know, you just accept it that, well, there's something wrong with you that they don't like, but not to take it to heart. You know, you do get used to it.
One of the most challenging aspects of a model's life is the constant round of interviews with the advertising agencies. When a job is being planned, depending on the particular requirement, a list of names is furnished by the model agency. Mike Crowley.
We would then, in fact, ask the models to come and visit us, and we would have a casting session, possibly within the agency or maybe at the photographers. A final list would then be selected, maybe of two people, depending on the number of people required for the ad. But if we were just talking about one person, we'd sort of have maybe two people come to the final interview. At that stage, we might ask them, in fact, to bring along the particular clothes that we'd ask them to wear in the ad. In a lot of cases, we ask them to do this, but it's not often, it's not always the case. At that stage, at that final interview, we can tell them the timing involved, exactly when we're going to do the photography, what they'll require to bring along with them, the time they're required to be there at. And models, on the whole, are generally very good on this type of thing. They're very punctual, and they're very thorough in their approach, very professional in their approach. With some of the less experienced models, you'll find that a statement like that, criticising them in some way or another, tends not to go down terribly well, and they tend to take it in the wrong way. They feel that it's a personal insult, you know. But in fact, it's meant well. The photographer means well when he says something like this, and it's really to try and get the job absolutely right. So that basically is what happens.
Well, when we go to an interview, we bring along our photographs, first of all, with us. But in London, you can go along to the interview dressed in jeans or anything you like, and the people just look at your photographs and they can see the work you've done. But in Ireland, it's different. You've almost got to go dressed for the part. So if they want a very young girl, or maybe a schoolgirl, you've nearly got to go along dressed in a gym slip and plaits to get the part. Or if they want something very sophisticated, you've got to wear a fur coat and all your makeup and a hat. Where you just can't go along dressed. I often go to interviews and dress up for them and just change before I go home again.
I mainly used to go for a lot of sort of fashion interviews, and I mean, you'd come out feeling you'd one arm longer than the other, or one shoulder higher than the other, or your nose was on the wrong side of your face or something. But, I mean, one will meet this anyway. I mean, you've got to sort of have a little humiliation in this job. I think that's very important. I mean, one never reaches the stage where one thinks one is absolutely fantastic and can conquer all.
It's a bit humiliating, everybody looking at your photographs and usually telling you they don't like them and things like that. But you get used to it. You don't get upset about anything, about losing interviews or anything. You just take it as it comes.
Mairead Conlon, Suzanne MacDougald and Judy Hill. It is generally felt that one of the most important attributes in a fashion model is professionalism. But what exactly does this entail? Mary Finan.
The top girls, those girls of a deal, are good. But I find that as far as working with the models is concerned, there are two things I'm adamant about. And one is punctuality. It's very important because you are perhaps booking a photographer studio by the hour and it costs you money. You may have a hairdresser on standby and a makeup artist on standby and they cost money, they charge by the hour. So punctuality is extremely important. And secondly, accessories. They should come armed with a range of tights and different colours, a range of shoes, jewellery, scarves, tops if they're doing slacks and jeans. And I would say that I'd fault quite a lot of them on that score, more so than the punctuality. I think it's drummed into them in the modelling schools, you know, be on time and it costs money. There are a few who are late and we simply never use them again. But the accessories, really, it's very few girls who are well-stocked accessory-wise. And then I suppose you can understand it because obviously it's a capital outlay, you know, to kind of put their case together and get all their accessories. And generally you find that it's as they become, you know, there are any more money, they'll do this. But it certainly puts you off if you're in the middle of a photo session and, you know, you need shoes or earrings or something that the model should have with her and you've got to send out for them and it takes time. So I would say, you know, as far as a professional approach is concerned, that punctuality and accessories are the two important criteria.
That's why it's such an expensive career. You've got to buy accessories yourself, buy jewellery, which isn't always, you know, up-to-date jewellery. It could be you have to spend a lot of money on jewellery you'd never even wear yourself, like pearls and little drop earrings and pearl earrings, whereas you might prefer wearing jeans and beads and things like that. You've got to buy accessories that must be up-to-date. They must be the current years. Like if berries are in fashion, you could spend about £8 or £10 just buying hats and berries and scarves.
A selection of colours.
Yeah, and a selection of colours. It's no use just bringing one or two colours that are all last year's. You've got to have everything and things that are currently fashionable. Same with shoes. Platforms now have gone out of fashion as regards modelling, even though
that was a big blow when platforms went out, mm-hmm. because although they're still in the shops for the very classical clothes, people want the classical shoes and you just have to buy them. I mean, people just don't understand when you're doing a fashion show that you have platforms and that they're not in fashion and you can't afford to buy, you know, the classical stuff. You just have to go out and buy it. That's where our money goes.
You've got to really spend the money in modelling that you make to make more money. Because if you don't spend the money and you just keep the same accessories year after year and season after season, suddenly your work will just dwindle away. Because often for advertising work, you've got to bring a selection of trousers, a selection of blouses, selection of evening dresses. You can't just arrive with one that's last year's colour, last year's style, because they just won't want to use that because, as you've noticed in magazines, everything is up to date.
There again, you've got to keep cases full of old clothes because you'll mm-hmm. suddenly find you've got a job where you've got to bring a miniskirt. This happened to me a couple of weeks ago and I don't possess a miniskirt, so I had to go around looking to find somebody that still had one.
That's the trouble, you've got to keep everything. I've used a lot of accessories from my mother. She's kept them from the 1940s and I've got lots of work last year with nets and hats and old flowers, old fox stoles, fur coats. So I just have an enormous amount of clothes in my house. I've cases and trunks of clothes that I just don't know whether to throw them out or give them away because you never know when you're going to need hot pants for a job.
Yeah. I still have a pair of hot pants too.
One aspect of this profession that sometimes comes in for criticism is the modelling course. It is at times alleged that girls who enrol for courses are deliberately misinformed about their chances of success. Fashion editor Noelle Campbell-Sharp.
Well, the first thing is that she may be attracted by a poise and personality course. And I think perhaps this is the catch, the bait that model agencies put out. They charge, I don't know what they charge now, but I remember it was something like £10 or £12 for a poise and personality course. And then at the finish of that, they believe that they tell just anybody that they're suitable to go ahead and do a modelling course. And of course, the minute that some vain little girl hears that you know, she is fit to do a modelling course, she's off flying and spends her £40 or whatever it takes to do the course. And then, of course, at the end of it, well, I mean, a model agency which has taken that sort of money, they probably, if they're not responsible, they feel reluctant to tell the girl that, you know, it's a difficult profession, if that's what you could call it in Ireland, because the market is very, very small. And I think this is where it's unfair, really. I don't think that model agencies should encourage, or we should allow them to encourage, intelligent, pretty girls in Ireland to go into this profession, which can really only support such a few, such a small number of girls.
Grace O'Shaughnessy also has some comments to make on this subject.
Well, this is exactly what I feel. I feel that people who advertise their courses and as modelling courses and say, come and do my course. The girls come along, pay their money, and they're quite sure, they are led to believe that they will then automatically become a model when they finish their month or 6 weeks or however long the course takes. And to me, this is being dishonest. This is sharp practice. You're taking people's money under false pretences.
But for those who do make modelling their full-time career, how different are their lifestyles from those around them?
One thing about modelling, the fact that you're dressing up all the time in your work, when you do have time off and you're going out socially, you just want to go into a pair of jeans. As soon as you get home, you want to take all the makeup off. Whereas a girl in an office is going home thinking, oh, I'm going to dress up now and get ready and put my makeup on, whereas we're the opposite. Off it comes.
You can't afford to go out very late at night if you're going to be working, modelling the next morning, because your looks will, you know, just decay overnight if you arrive for the job the next morning and your makeup won't go on properly. So very few models stay out late at night. You know, I very rarely go out after 12 o'clock.
A couple of nights when I've had late nights, I've got in about 2 or 3, and something unexpected has happened the next morning where I've got to work. You have to get up about an hour earlier to make sure and get your makeup on so that you look healthy, because late nights you just look tired and drawn, and you can't. In a normal job you could go in anyway, but for modelling you have to arrive looking as if you've had 12 hours sleep, you know, looking the part. And it takes so much longer, and if you've got a full day's photography, feeling, you know, tired, you just couldn't go through with it. And it's noticeable then probably in the photographs, unless you're very good at hiding it with the makeup. So we really can't afford to go out taking a lot of late nights. I mean, it's mainly we keep it for holiday times and things like that.
Well, there are seasons. Like at this time of the year, from March until the beginning of June, it's a very busy season. And you could be doing photographs all day long, 3 or 4 different photographic sessions. You just barely have enough time to change your makeup to do a fashion show that night. You may not even have time to eat all day. I've often gone through a whole day without eating. And you might spend about 3 weeks of doing that non-stop, so you just don't have the time to go out at night. And then after Christmas and in the summer, there's hardly any work at all, so you can afford to have a rest then.
And it's just like last week I was in London, and when I came back people said, did you have a great time? You must have had a fabulous time in London going to all the shows and everything. And I just didn't. I was working in Earl's Court from 9 in the morning. I had to travel from outside London, which meant I had to be up before 7, from 9 in the clock in the morning until sometimes 8 at night. You'd be just so exhausted from continuously trying on clothes, sometimes 3 hours at a time, just taking clothes off and putting them on and walking out, walking in, that you're just so exhausted you just can't go out, you know. You'd fall asleep if you did.
Does that ruin your life and ruin your social life because of that? Is it easy, you know, to establish friendships and relationships?
Well, since I've started modelling, I still have the friends that I had before I started and that kind of thing. It's quite hard to... You really have to have an understanding boyfriend, and if you haven't got one, it's very hard to find one. That's about all.
I'm very lucky. My husband's in the same business as I am, so if I'm working or if I don't come home till 12 o'clock, he understands that the show is run late. Same if he does a fashion show. He does commentaries on fashion shows.
It's very difficult to assess the amount of money a model can earn in this country. Obviously, a lot depends on how successful they are. Rates for photographic sessions, for example, work out at between £6 and £9 per hour. And a fashion show can bring in between £10 and £20 a night, depending on the distance travelled. While these rates may look good on paper, it must be remembered that, again, a lot depends on the flow of work. And then a model may have to wait weeks or even months for payment. Alice Kearns.
The money is very good, but the only disadvantage is that you might do a job in September, say, and you won't get paid until December. It's in that way you just cannot depend on the money for, you know, I live at home with my parents, so I'm all right. I don't have to worry about flat or rent, anything like that. So it doesn't really matter with me. But I think really before, it's best really to stay at home if you possibly can before you move to a flat and get settled in modelling first, before you make the plunge of living on your own.
Fashion modelling is an expensive business, and worldwide economic recession, such as we're experiencing now, can, of course, erode opportunities in the field.
In fact, actually, I would venture to suggest that many of the model agencies are on the verge of bankruptcy, or any of them that are around. Many of them have gone that way, indeed. And I think it's not necessarily their fault, because they have tried to protect themselves in all sorts of ways. And one of the ways, of course, is to keep on getting new people and charging for modelling courses. But quite apart from that, I think that often it's the clients of the model agency which are at fault. They don't pay their bills. They spend maybe up to 9 months clearing one account. And in the meantime, of course, the girls are knocking on the doors of model agencies saying, you know, well, I can't afford to continue living without any money, so what about an advance and so forth? And this is generally pulling the whole thing apart. I don't see the market, really. It comes down to the market again. The market is just not big enough for a number of model agencies. I think that perhaps one or two good model agencies they possibly would get enough to live on. But it's rather foolish, I think, to continue providing people for a market that just doesn't want them. It's a matter of supply and demand.
Fashion models have in recent times been concerned about protecting their interests, and to this end, they got together recently to form an association. Suzanne MacDougald.
Well, basically, it was to standardise fees, because what was happening was that the different agencies in town were charging different rates, which resulted in undercutting. And this is basically why we formed the association. And now we're in the processes of discussing terms of employment with the Institute of Advertising Practitioners, to generally try and bring the whole thing on a more professional basis.
Are you concerned about standards of training models, for example? Would that be one of your areas of concern?
Yes, it would, definitely. Very definitely, because so many girls, you know, are come out into the field without any sort of knowledge of what they're supposed to be doing or wearing or how they're supposed to look.
Mary Finan, from the advertising point of view, welcomes this move.
It has never really been up to now very highly organised, and I think this, you know, has been as unfair to the models as to the people who need them. But I know that they're getting together now, getting themselves organised and forming an association, and this of course will mean a far more professional approach, and will benefit them and us in that we will have a comeback, you know, if they do not work up to the professional standards they set out. And I would see for the future a far more professional approach, a far more better organised business, and consequently I think that the trend at the moment, which seems to be that modelling is kind of open for any pretty girl, that, you know, she just leaves school and if she's well enough off to keep herself for a couple of years till she gets some work, that she just, you know, passes into modelling. But I'd say that as the whole business becomes more formal and better organised, that you'll find a far better screening process, and that unless the girls have the essentials for modelling, you know, the right height and the right measurements and the right type of looks, they just won't be able to get in. It will be as difficult as any other profession for which you need qualifications, and I think that's a good thing. That has already happened in the UK, where they're all highly professional, and even though it is so competitive, and they have an awful lot of business, apparently at the moment there are only 20 really top girls in the UK, and you know, who've actually made it, because it is so difficult to make it over there. And I think that will happen here too.
Meanwhile, in times which are apparently less stable financially, where can a young model go to gain the necessary experience? Grace O'Shaughnessy.
Many girls seem to think that after they've done one fashion show, that this is it, they've arrived. And as we said earlier, you know, this is not so. They just have to have this feeling of humility. But manufacturing, working for manufacturers and wholesalers, showing to buyers, gives girls invaluable experience. They have to work, they get practice in changing in and out of garments quickly. They get practice in dealing with people, showing clothes off. And I really feel that every girl, certainly all of the, any of the girls I have who come to me and I've worked with, I insist that they must do a good long stint at wholesale work. It's so important for them. It gives them the feel of the garments and just is that valuable basic sort of groundwork that they need.
And for the model who has already reached the top, perhaps the most prestigious level she can achieve is to work for a couturier like Ibi Jorgensen on his seasonal collections.
I generally use 7 models in my collections. I find that with changing and one of the reasons is because my clothes are so expensive that they can't afford to be taken off in a hurry, etc. But I use 7 models in my collection. I'm hard pushed to find 7 girls to fill these places for the collection, but I generally use the same girls season in and season out, and we may add one new girl each season, or perhaps somebody marries and retires, etc. There's always a new face in a collection.
What does it entail, working on your collection? Does it involve a lot of preparation beforehand? Can you describe what it's like?
Do you mean from my model, point of view, or from the model's point of view? Well, in fact, we start making clothes 6 weeks before the collection, but the fittings really only takes part in the last 3 weeks because we have our own house model, and she does most of the first and second fittings. But after that, we have models constantly in the last 2 weeks before a collection.
Do you find the Irish models satisfactory to work with? Do you very. Find them professional?
Oh, very. I find the Irish girls as good as anywhere. And I have used English girls in London when I have showed there to buyers and to the press. And I can quite safely say that the Irish girls are as good as anywhere. The very top ones are as good as anywhere.
Once again, that old-fashioned look brought right up to date for a linen dress in an oatmeal colour. Natural weave linen here, beautifully styled with those romantic sleeves and the gathered bodice. The belt evolving from the plastron front and tying in a soft sash tie at the back.
And again, that's it. Once more, come on. That's it. Yes, lovely. That's good, Sue. And again, hand up, Sue. Come on. To your face. Yeah, that's it. Lovely. Yeah. And again, come on. Laugh, smile, for goodness sake, it's fun. And again, once more. That's it.
And stay here. I want to come around this side.